We're going to stop this threat against the Midlands, and we're going to do it by following those we are sworn to follow. We go into battle under the command of the Mother Confessor.
I'm a soldier in the Galilean army.
Mosel seemed only to get more defiant.
Not a soldier in any Midlands army. I fight for Galia, not to protect lands like Kelton.
Aelin watched as other men shouted their agreement.
This army, the Imperial Order, or whatever they call themselves, is marching toward the border. Celion is a border city, and most of it's on the other side of the river, in Kelton. Most of its citizens are Keltish. Why should we die for the Keltons?
Men in the crowd were starting to argue with one another. Captain Ryan's face was red.
Mosel, you're a disgrace to...
Aelin held a hand out to silence him.
No. Soldier Mosel is only speaking as he believes, as I asked him to.
You men must understand me. I'm not ordering you to do this. I'm asking you to fight for the lives of innocent people of the Midlands. Tens of thousands of your fellow soldiers have already died in this battle. I would not ask you to lay down your lives for something you do not believe in. Most who go into this war will die. It's your decision to stay or not. You are not commanded to stay. But if you choose to stay, it will be under my command. I want no man with us who does not believe in what we do. Decide now if you will be with us or not. If not, then you are free to go, because you will be of no help to your comrades.
Her voice turned as cold as the thin morning air.
If you decide to go with me into this war, then you will follow the orders of your superiors. In the Midlands, there is no one to outrank me. You will follow my orders without question, or your punishment will be unsparing. Too much is at stake to have to suffer men who can't follow orders. If I say you will do something, then you will do it, even if you know it's to cost you your life, because it's to save many more lives. I give no orders without sound reason, but I won't always have time to explain them. Your duty is to trust in your superiors and do as you're told.
She held out a finger and swept it slowly over their heads.
Choose, then, with us or not, but choose this day for all time.
Aelin drew her hands back inside her warm fur mantle and waited in silence while men discussed and argued among themselves. Tempers flared and angry oaths were given. Men gathered around Mosel, and others moved away from him.
I'm leaving, then,
Mosel called out to the others. He thrust his fist in the air.
I'll follow no woman into battle, no matter who she is. Who's leaving with me?
About 60 or 70 men gathered about cheered their support for him.
Go, then,
Aelin commanded.
Before you become caught up in a battle you do not believe in.
Having made their choice, Mosel and the men with him cast her glares of contempt. He swaggered forward.
We'll leave as soon as we can get our things together. We'll not be rushed out on your word.
The men in the crowd pushed in. Before it came to blows, Aelin held her hand up.
Stop! Let them be. They've made their choice. Let them get their things and be gone.
Mosel turned and pushed his way back through the throng, his new men in tow. As they left the gathered soldiers, Aelin carefully counted their numbers. 67. 67 who would leave. She looked out at all the faces.
Any more? Do any more wish to leave?
No one moved a muscle.
Then do you all wish to join in this fight?
A united cheer went up.
So be it. I wish I did not have to call upon you men to do this, but there is no one else to ask. My heart weeps for those of you who will die. Know that none of those who live will ever forget the sacrifice you make for them and the people of the Midlands.
From the corner of her eye, she watched the 67 men moving among the wagons, taking the supplies they thought they would need.
And now, to what must be done?
Slowly she shook her head.
You men must understand what it is I call upon you to do. It is no glorious battle, as you think, where you move like pieces on a game board. No tactics to outwit an opponent in a grand engagement. We will not face them in the field of battle, but kill them in every other way.
But, Mother Confessor?
Someone near the front timidly called out.
It's the code of honor for soldiers to face one another in battle, to best him in a fair fight.
There is nothing fair about having to fight in war. The only fair thing would be to live in peace. The purpose of war is singular, to kill. You must all understand this, for it's central to your survival. There is no honor in killing, no matter the method. Dead is dead. Killing your enemy in war is done to protect the lives of those for whom you fight. Their lives are no better protected by killing your enemy sword to sword than by slaying him while he sleeps, but only put at risk by it. There is no glory in this task. It's an onerous deed. We do not intend to give them a chance to engage in pitched battle, to see who is the better at the game. Our chore is simply to kill them. If you have difficulty seeing the right of this, then I call upon you to consider the honor of the soldiers you are up against. Consider them as they stood waiting in gangs to rape your mothers and sisters. Consider what your mothers and sisters in Ebenezer thought of honor as they were tortured and raped and slaughtered.
The chill of her words sent visible shudders through the stone-silent men. Kaelin had to restrain herself from bringing any more horror to their eyes, but before her still floated the vision of the young women in the palace.
If the enemy is looking the other way, so much the better, because they will not thrust a knife into you. If it is from a distance, with an arrow, so much the better, because they will not have a chance to impale you on an argon. If it is while they have food in their mouths, so much the better, because they will not be able to raise an alarm. If it is while they are sleeping, so much the better, because they will not have a chance to cleave you with their sword. Last night, my horse crushed the head of one of the Daharan commanders. There was no glory in that, no honor, only the knowledge that perhaps that deed will prevent some of you from dying by his hand and wits. In that, my heart sings with joy, joy that maybe it has saved some of your precious lives. What we do is done to save the lives of men and women yet alive and yet unborn. You saw what was done to the people in Ebenezer. Remember the faces of those dead. Remember the way they died and the horror they suffered before they did. Remember those soldiers captured and beheaded. It is up to us to prevent that from happening to any more people. To do that, we must kill these men. There is no glory in the doing, only survival.
In the back, two men gestured obscenely to those around them and walked off to join with Mosul's men. 69. But the rest stood in firm resolution to take up the fight. The time had come. She had dissuaded them from their raw thoughts of glorious battle and told them of the true nature of their task. She had brought most to an understanding of the larger temper of the battle ahead. She had told them some of what must be done. She had brought them to a more focused understanding of their importance in the scheme of this struggle. The time had come to charge them irreversibly to the burden, to forge them into an instrument of retribution that could annihilate the threat. Kaelin opened her arms to the men before her, her blood-soaked mantle hanging limp.
"I am dead,"
she called to the gray sky. Frowning, they all leaned in a little.
"What has happened to my countrymen, my countrywomen, my fathers, sons, mothers, and daughters has slain me. The agony of their slaughter has mortally wounded my heart."
Her arms spread wider as her voice rose in wrath.
"Only vengeance can restore me. Only victory can return my life to me."
She gazed into all the wide eyes, staring back.
"I am the mother confessor of the Midlands. I am your mothers, your sisters, your daughters yet unborn. I call upon you to die with me and live again only by avenging me."
Kaelin swept a hand out.
"Those of you who join with me in this are dead with me. Our lives can be returned only through vengeance. As long as one of our enemy lives, we are dead. We have no life to lose in this battle, for our lives are already lost, here, today, now. Only when every one of the destroyers of Ebenezer is slain may we live once again.
Until then, we have no life.
She looked out at the solemn faces of the men gathered before her, watching, waiting for her next words. On a warm breeze, the bloody wolf fur rustled against her cheek. Kaylin pulled free her knife and held it up in her fist for all to see. She laid the weapon over her heart.
An oath, then, to the good people of Ebenicia, who are now with the spirits, and to the good people of the Midlands.
Almost all the men followed her example, holding their knives over their hearts. Seven did not, but grumbling curses rose to join with Mosul. 76.
Vengeance without mercy before our lives are returned to us, she pledged.
The sober voice of every man before her repeated the oath, joining with every other in unflinching unity.
Vengeance without mercy before our lives are returned to us.
The roar of their words drifted away on the morning air. Kaylin watched William Mosul cast a glance over his shoulder at her before following his men away, back up the pass. She returned her attention to those before her.
You are all sworn in oath, then. Tonight, we begin the killing of the men of the Order. Let it be without quarter. We take no prisoners.
No cheer went up this time. The men listened in grim attention.
We must no longer travel as you have been, with wagons to carry your needs and supplies. We must take only what we can carry. We need to be able to travel the woods, the small passes, so we can outmaneuver the men we hunt. I intend to sweep in at them from all directions and at will, like wolves at hunt. And like wolves who hunt with coordination, we will control and direct them, as wolves control and direct their prey.